This is Electric Sisterhood, podcast episode number 298. Prequels are fine, as long as there is no Jar Jar Binks. Electric Sisterhood, home of the best.
The fucking best.
Girl gaming, tech gadget, and anime podcast. I am Ninja Sister.
And I'm has no voice, Pandalicious.
You have some voice.
I don't have all the voice.
You don't have all the voice?
I has no most voice. Because I
no
make
most
se-
voice?
I make sentences good.
You do make sentences good. Okay.
Oh,
well,
yeah.
Oh, no. Don't do that. Now here comes Kool-Aid Man. I just fixed that.
I love... I know we're on a tangent already out the gate.
I know. We haven't even gotten to topics yet or, like, all of our other stuff. But no, let's go right to tangent town.
I love in the Family Guy when everyone's like, oh, yeah. And he busts through the window. It's like, oh, no. Oh, no, Kool-Aid Man. Or he misses it in the future. I love how they revisit that stuff. But anyway. Yeah, we're back.
Yes. Random as ever. So, this week, we got a couple things to talk about.
Like my birthday.
Sure, there's that.
It's coming soon.
Uh-huh.
Coming soon to a panda near you.
Well, not necessarily.
Well, not near all of you, but some of you, very close, and some of you not very close at all.
Not
but
even,
it's like a coming attractions in your local
kind of
theater.
Fear.
Wait for the trailer.
So, of course, there's Pandalicious's birthday.
Woo!
We also have some game stuff to talk about. I have a gadget.
Yeah, at least on my birthday.
I have a gadget gizmo thing.
That releases on my birthday.
No.
It's a very panda-themed show this
no,
week.
No, it's not. It's not. It's not. We discussed this.
Oh.
Okay.
There are some games and movies coming out on my birthday. Like
you know
The
what?
Amazing Spider-Man.
Can we get into the show? Obviously, because, you know, we just want to turn this into the Pandalicious show. So, Pandalicious, why don't you go ahead first?
I'm sure.
I'm going to drink my Bev, since,
go ahead,
you know,
drink
it's all
your, oh, I didn't even open mine. That's all right.
That's what you get.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so, yeah, birthday.
Pandalicious. Oh, my God. Here we go.
Yeah. I'm not going to talk about me and my awesomeness, because that's already implied.
Right. We're not going to talk about that at all. I mean, you didn't even have to make that statement.
Like, I
that
didn't,
statement didn't happen, because it's already known.
It's already an established, constant known to the universe.
This is
going to
be a fun hour.
And the
pandas already.
But, Theater Rhythm will become available on my birthday,
which is
Tuesday, the 3rd. So, tomorrow.
No, the game!
Theater Rhythm! I just said it!
Yes! And Theater Rhythm what? What is it?
Final Fantasy. It's the rhythm-based game.
Thank you. Details. You know, not everybody is as into the Final Fantasy as you are.
No, but a lot of people like the Square Enix.
Yes, a lot of people like the Square Enix, but not everybody intrinsically knows that Theater Rhythm equals the Final Fantasy rhythm game from Square Enix.
For the 3DS.
Thank you. See, details.
Sorry. So, yes, and it becomes available on the 3rd.
Fully flesh out your ideas. Make sentences good.
Also, very surprisingly on the movie front, the Amazing Spider-Man movie comes out on the 3rd, which is a Tuesday, which is really weird for movie releases.
Right, but they're trying to build into the holiday box office, knowing that the majority of the world has the 4th off.
Yeah.
So that leads them into, as far as weekend box office goes, to have a fantastic opening weekend.
Oh yeah, because they're going to get an extended one, because Ted just dropped this Friday.
Yep.
You know, and, like, Madagascar 3 and some other
movies. Hey, let's not talk smack about Madagascar 3, okay? Remember who the audience is, alright?
Right.
You're talking kids, okay?
Polka dot Afro!
Alright, look, you're smiling now. You just did that and you're smiling.
Because it's Chris Rock as
okay.
a zebra.
Exactly. And you go, oh my God, it's Chris Rock as a zebra. 8-year-olds go, oh my God,
it's
a zebra with an afro and polka dots. Everybody wins.
Everyone wins.
All right? So don't talk smack. You know, that's one of the things that I really get upset about, you know, especially our community. And I don't know if it's because we're just jaded, you know, sarcastic.
Oh, we're jaded
plus.
Motherfuckers. We're all just jaded.
Or what? But you know what? Madagascar 3 is not meant to be Citizen Kane. Okay? It's entertainment for the children with some jokes in there so the parents who have a few brain cells can have a couple of laughs too. But it's meant for the children.
Oh my god.
Alright? So don't be jaded.
The fact that you just brought up Citizen Kane made me think of the Tiny Toons episode that they did with Maximilian and made it like Citizen Kane.
Yes! Okay? Now,
it's like, was he screaming at me? No. He was screaming acne. He had acne.
Yeah, exactly. Now, for anybody who was an adult and saw Citizen Kane, that was hysterical on a completely different level than the kids. It was like, he's talking about pimples. You know, so don't knock it for what it's supposed to be. Okay.
Just enjoy it for,
you know,
what,
just
you
enjoy it for what it is. You know, like, I look at, you know, the Madagascar 3s and the Ice Ages. Okay.
Continental Drift coming out on the 13th or 14th.
Okay, and you know what? That Sid Shuffle thing, that's just cute. And it's a great
Sid,
little...
step back. You know? And do the Sid, step right.
All right.
And then drift.
Okay, now that's just a cute little thing, you know, to help market the sucker. But, you know, ultimately it is a motion thing, so it gets some people active and, you know, who doesn't like dancing. And it's just fun all the way around. So, you know, the thing that I like... summer kids movies, because there's a little bit of mindless fun, so it kind of, for me, harkens back to, you know, brawlers that I would play in the arcade and that I like to still play in my living room. You know, it's just mindless fun. You have some laughs, you go about your business, and it's a good time.
Yeah.
So, you know, frankly, for me, I'm probably not going to go see Madagascar 3 in the theater.
Nope.
But you can bet your sweet ass that I'm going to catch it as soon as it hits, like, the HBO Netflix, like, you know, loop. I'm going to watch it because there's going to be some good laughs in there. Not you know, a bunch, but, you know, it's got a couple of, you know, moments and opportunities.
Yeah, I'm totally going to wait when Continental Drift becomes available, like, on demand, because Nicki Minaj does a voice in that, and I just got to see what they did with her.
You know,
if they did anything different from, you know, the character Nicki Minaj already is.
Yeah, but doesn't she play, like, the daughter?
I think she plays the friend of the daughter, who's like, you should be totally dating that mammoth. Like, that's what I imagine her character is the friend who's like, you need to get some mammoth dick. And
what's going to happen.
Well, they're not
going to
say dick.
We're
going to be like, look at that mammoth over there. Like, he totally likes you. You should, like, make poetry. I'll help. And I feel like that's what Nicki Minaj is going to do in the movie. But, I mean, I doubt that. But still.
You know, so... I mean, I'm looking forward to summer movies. I plan on seeing Ted. I plan on seeing the Amazing Spider-Man movie.
I plan to see Batman Dark Knight Rises.
Oh, I don't think that there's a person on the planet who doesn't intend to see Dark Knight Rises.
I've been watching a whole lot of, like, people who are prepping for that movie, and they're, like, really going through the trailers and stuff. Like, that's what I've been doing fairly recently, because I still haven't even cracked open KBD's Max Payne 3, so I have to do that. But while doing my, you know, day job stuff, air quotes there, I will, like, listen to stuff. And I've been watching these reverse trailers where people actually pick apart the trailers, and they try to surmise what they think they're seeing. And it looks like a lot of rumors and a lot of thought is that Joseph Gordon-Levitt's character, even though he's got a different name, they think he might actually be Dick Grayson.
See, here's what I don't want to do, okay? Because I've done this with movies in the past, and then I've always been really upset with myself because I'm a pretty observant person.
Right.
You know, I mean, we've gone through episodes of whodunit stuff, and you know, three episodes in, I'm already good. I've got it.
Right.
Or I'm on the right trail. And then it's not as enjoyable for me for the rest of the ride, because now it's just like, okay, prove me right.
Right.
And let me see how many steps you take to get there, and you know. And
it's like, I got it in 3 steps. Why did it take you 10?
Yeah, and other than you've got 13 episodes to do, so here's the other 10. You know, I have specifically watched any trailer that's come out one time. I refuse to look at any deep reviews. I haven't done any of the character assassination stuff that's been out there, or I should say the character... dissimulation that's been out there, you know, the character studies, basically.
Yeah.
were like, okay, let's break down this Catwoman versus every other one in the universe. I've avoided all of that.
Well, they haven't, they're not even doing that, but I mean...
There were a couple, because there have been some interviews with all the actors talking about their characters, and every single one of those things that I've ever seen, they always talk about how they got to the place that they got to, and how this version of the person that they're playing is blah, 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 versus previous. I don't want any of that, because what I want to do is I want to walk into that theater, I want to have a big bucket of popcorn, my mammoth beverage beside me, and I
oh, you mean your medium beverage? Because, you know, mediums now are, like, mega huge.
I know, seriously. I was like, you know, it's a bucket of fucking soda.
And I don't know why they're doing that, because then if you drink half of it, you have to pee, which means you're probably going to miss a really crucial point.
Yeah, and you can't even get it refilled, because you're not going to finish it.
If you're going to give me a bucket of soda, you better give me a catheter, because I'm not getting up. I'm not getting
up. At least for Dark Knight Rises. But I just want to sit in the theater with my popcorn and my beverage, and I just want whatever the experience and the ride is going to be, I want to experience it basically with no history other than the previous movie. So before I go into it, I'm going to watch both of the movies again.
A lot of theaters are doing the whole Batman-a-thon.
Yep.
Where they'll play the first two that lead up into...
Yeah, my problem is that the majority of them are doing it on a Friday, and my day job does not allow...
It's like, can I be excused to see Batman?
I need a hall pass, because I need, like, 6 hours to go...
See Batman.
So I am, you know, because I own both of them, I am going to kind of do my own Batman-a-thon and go through them again, and that's about as much as I'm going to do. So that when I walk into Rises, it is all a new, clean experience for me.
Right.
And
But I know that you're really big into Batman, which is the reason why I kind of brought that up, because I know, you know, you've been...
I enjoy the bats. Of all the comics that I've read, and the storylines that I'm aware of, and the ones that I've either been exposed to, or the ones that I'm... you know, absolutely in love with, because I've read, you know, Marvel stuff, DC stuff, Dark Horse stuff, Tokyo Pop stuff. I mean, you know, between all of the Shonen Jump stuff and the things that have branched off of there.
You've jumped into Shonen Jump.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, it all kind of, you know, leads around to the same thing. Good storytelling with beautiful art is good storytelling with beautiful art. Doesn't matter whose banner it comes under. You know, when I think of the things that I always go back to and the characters that I really, really love, the majority of them are in the Marvel and DC universe. You know, I enjoy Superman, but I'm not, you know, a Superman fangirl. I will definitely say that as far as the Batman, you know, mantle goes, I am much more aware of and involved in and enjoy the whole Bat universe. The progressions of Robins and Nightwings and Batgirls and Batwomans,
yeah.
And, you know, that whole thing, and the areas of gray that they all reside in. You know, they're not all true, pure hero, you know,
right
characters. They all become this somewhat vigilante, okay, because of some thing that has happened in their history that has made them want to seek revenge or have some sense of vengeance for some reason that's been now channeled into this, if you're going to walk this gray path instead of walking the black right. path, here's a way that you can make it gray and not be completely black in this vigilante, you know.
Right. No, but I completely get where you're going.
You know, and I enjoy that because it's not, you know, clean cut. I don't enjoy the clean cut. You know,
it's like, oh, you're definitely the good guy, and you're definitely going to come out of this, you know, a little battered, but pretty much unscathed.
Exactly.
And there's no repercussion to right. the damage that you are actually doing while doing.
Exactly.
This.
And I think that's part of the reason why I never got so, so deep involved with Superman. It's because Superman is so pure, you know, ultra
and
good.
So you started going into the whole Bizarro thing of the other, you know,
well,
universes
have,
of parallel
right,
things.
Yeah, yeah, when you had the Crisis of Infinite Earths, you had all kinds of shit that happened. But for the most part, you know, Superman Clark Kent is all that's good in the world, right? The idealistic, you know,
right.
guy next door, sweet.
No, if he's truly the ideal guy next door, he bangs fat chicks.
Yeah.
if he's the ideal man, he will bang fatties.
You know, and
like me.
Stop. But, you know, even when Superman had a crisis, it was always him trying to find the purest, most honest way to solve it.
Yeah.
And you can't
sometimes
always...
Sometimes you can't always do that.
You can't always do that. And the only times I really found myself drawn to Superman is when that didn't happen. And he had to make a decision that was completely against his character type. And that's when I enjoyed the series. So, for me, you know, the Bat series has always been really enjoyable because, you know, you have this whole thing going on with Batman and, you know, Joker, both in the animated series and then in pieces of, you know, New 52, and even in pieces of some of the rebirths of
I think I've seen a canon, like a one-shot where they change the whole origin of Joker.
Mm-hmm.
And you, in that canon and in that piece, it's actually Alfred. And, like, Alfred's dialoguing about, you know, what happened to his parents, and they're like, we want you to, you know, take care of our son and always be watching for our son. And he went on this whole trip to be Batman, but he had, like, he didn't know where to start and didn't really have a villain, and Alfred is putting on the makeup, and at the end of it, he reveals that he's Joker in this canon. And I was like, whoa, talk about right there. Like, it was powerful. Like, it was mm-hmm. beautifully done. I wish I had read more of it to see where they were going to go with that, because obviously I can see why Joker in that regard would never kill Batman, because he's just fueling that delusion or that mm-hmm. need for him to do something with...
He's acting as the catalyst.
Yeah, for Batman, which I thought was a great direction. But I'm actually kind of relieved to see that Nolan is, you know, after this one, that's it for him. And I like the fact that he chose, in terms of Batman, the enemies that really proved daunting and tasking for Batman to battle. So you actually saw a lot of battle of wits with brawn and skill and tap, you know, craft and all that. Like,
the things
all
that develop. You know, because if you're going to do a prequel of the origin of Batman, you have to show the development, right? You don't just become badass with
a
battle.
You don't just take all your money and, I mean, if that's the case, then we need another Kick-Ass, like Kick-Ass 2 with Red Mist.
Yes.
Fucking Red Mist.
But yeah, absolutely. You know, you have to show how the character progresses to that. And so I applaud Nolan for just, you know, being like, look, three and I'm done. And somebody else has to take up the mantle. Because frankly, you know, it's one of the things
that... Well, that's
kind of
the way that Batman works. Like, it's not always Bruce Wayne. There's always been other Batmans. Like, with the whole Nightwing and the whole...
Well, I mean,
there
are other members of the Bat crew, right? So you got, you know, Nightwing and Robin, and you've got...
Yeah, but then Batman Beyond, it was that Terry guy.
Yes, but Batman Beyond is way, way off in the future, because that was, you know, Bruce Wayne was retired, you know,
right.
Which, you know, you have to do. Like, Batman can't, you know, quintessentially be 40-year-old. You know, you gotta get to
he's
a point.
He's not a gargoyle who turns into stone at night.
Exactly, like, he's not eternal, and so, you know, it's one of the things I enjoyed about Batman Beyond was that, okay, here's Batman in the future being tutored by Bruce Wayne, but you still have a character that has, you know, this need for vengeance that's now being funneled in this direction, you know, with guidance from previous
the
members
Batman
of the Bat
OG
crew, you know.
It's
so,
like Dunk Dunk OG was, like, mentoring Dunk Dunk SVU.
Yeah, basically. Yeah. You know, so... But for me, I really want it to be a new experience, just like I'm going into the Spider-Man movie completely divorced from the previous Spider-Man movie.
You know, I know a lot of people are like, oh, Spider-Man movie, haven't we had enough? Granted, it's the Amazing Spider-Man, so now we're dealing with a totally different Spider-Man, whole new origin.
Yep.
And I like that we're playing with that. Like, I really do. Because, I mean, I'd love to see them eventually. Not right away. Because I want to see where the Amazing Spider-Man is going to go.
Mm-hmm.
But who's to say that we won't get a movie with Ultimate Spider-Man and we actually now see the minority, you know, Spider-Man take mantle and portray their story, their side of things.
Well, you know...
Miles Morales, you know, Morales is now the new Ultimate Spider-Man. And
mm-hmm.
it was such a big deal when he got revealed. And I'd love to see... You know, them put someone up on that pedestal and up for, you know, people to be like, I want to be like him. Like, someone who's going to resonate with more than just the regular target comic audience.
Yeah.
Like, it will resonate in multiple places.
With a lot of communities.
Absolutely.
You know, so, I mean, as far as the summer, you know, goes, I mean, just July alone, there's some great entertainment. You know,
like my birthday.
Not just to feed your nerd needs, but also just the funny bone stuff. And, you know, I'm really looking forward to those movies and those experiences.
And my birthday.
We will definitely talk about those movies.
And my birthday.
After we see them. Seriously, this is not the Pandalicious birthday hour. That's not what this is going to be.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Yes, you do. Stop looking at me like that.
With
your one good eye. I'm about to get you an eye patch.
I actually have one. But it's like a... It's a a pirate eye patch. It has all these studs in it. But I don't know how to wrap it right. So it never looks right. But I do have a patch.
Yeah, I can fix that for you.
Oh my god, I would totally love to rock a pirate eye patch for my birthday.
Hopefully the style will be gone by then. But, you know, there are other things that are on deck as well. So, one of the things that I wasn't really crazy about, but after listening to you talk about your experience with it, the things that I've seen about it, I'm getting more excited for the Devil May Cry reboot.
Yes. I know that we've talked about it before, and I know at first I was like, the game is going to be enjoyable as crazy.
Yep.
But like I did state, that the aesthetic, though powerful and beautiful, it still hasn't triggered for me, oh yes, we're definitely in the DMC universe for me.
Right.
Granted, I only got to play like 30 minutes of it, and I'm in one area, so I don't know if the rest of the world is going to present that
right.
to me.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of hope that it does, because, I mean, like I said, they could put this character as a totally different person, and I'd still be like, great, it's a fun game. Like, it doesn't necessarily have to be Dante. They haven't shoved anything in there to make me believe that this is Dante yet.
Yeah.
From what I've been exposed
to. And, you know, my hope is that as you progress through this thing, like, you build up to that, because that's the point of an origin, is this is the stuff that led to
this.
The guy you played in one being the guy you played in one. And, you know, I don't know if they have a roadmap for, you know, three games to lead into that.
I wouldn't be surprised. Oh my god, so they're totally going to do, like, a Star Wars thing where we got 4, 5, and 6, and now we're going to get 1, 2, 3.
Now we're going to get 1, 2, 3.
And let's pray this 1, 2, 3 is better than the 1, 2, 3 in Star Wars.
Yes.
Well, there's no Jar Jar Binks, so it's already 3 steps up.
Exactly.
From where the expectation line is.
Right there. So, you know, I don't know what that roadmap is, but... As I was sifting through my email this week, one of the things that I noticed was an email that came across that said that Noisia is actually going to be doing...
Oh my god, wait, am I thinking Noisia from that really hard track in DJ Hero that like I cry at because I can't do it?
Yes, are providing music for the soundtrack for the game.
At least I don't have to like mimic it with my scratches and my DJ Diddles attack. So I can enjoy Noisia.
Did you seriously just make
yes, I totally
a Dane Cook DJ Diddles reference in this podcast?
And that means vagina.
Oh my god.
DJ Diddles is a reference to vagina playing. Like a violin, but you know, for your vagina. Anyway.
That was just totally not necessary in this podcast.
Okay.
Leave your eyeball alone.
I'm scratching my head maniacally. If that's even a word.
I don't even know that that's a thing.
Oh my god, if I were like a skinless cat, like I'm petting my head the way that someone would pet a hairless cat. Like in,
Can you please just dial back your randomness, like just a little bit?
Like from the Austin Powers
movie. I know, but could you please? Like just, you're not a sphinx, so just...
Ask me any riddle. Wait, no, the sphinx asks riddles. You have to answer them. I'm sorry. I'm a little jumbled.
You think?
Proceed.
Thanks.
With caution.
So much.
My birthday.
So, I don't even know what I was talking about now because we went on so many tangents there. I'm having trouble.
You were talking about you're getting more and more excited with the announcement of Noisia doing soundtracks.
Yes.
So they're
doing soundtrack work. For the game, and what I thought was really cool was that, you know, Ninja Theory, the guys who are developing the game...
Didn't Ninja Theory also do Gaiden? No. What team was that that did...
Team Ninja.
Oh, okay. Sorry. Wait. Is that the...
Ninja Theory.
Okay. Sorry, ninjas. So many ninjas.
Okay, ready? Remember Twin Twine?
Yeah. Oh, okay. Ninja Theory. All right, Heavenly's got it.
Okay.
It's now permeating in my...
Sorry, you good now? All right.
Yep.
Team Ninja? DOA.
Oh! Okay. All right, so we're
and
getting...
And that's why...
So we're getting... Twin Twang in our DMC.
And that's also Ninja Gaiden, because Ryu Hayabusa from the DOA... Okay?
Ah!
And back and forth, you okay?
Yeah.
That's how you keep them straight.
And that's how they plan to get Dante in the next, like, DOA fighting game.
Correct.
Oh, what an insane!
You know, Dev House.
Yep.
Okay? Now, both teams have a lot of affection for each other. They pull inspiration from each other. They've traded a couple of creative people back and forth over the years.
They went to prom together. It was cool.
I mean, you know, they were totally just
friends. It was a masquerade prom, and they went as DNA. They're all tethered together.
Okay. Anywho, also Combo Chris is going to be working on the soundtrack.
I'm sorry, I heard Jamba Juice, and that's not what you said.
Combo Chris.
Combi Christ.
Yes.
Okay. Sounds like Krispy Kreme, too.
Dude, I would go ham on some Krispy Kreme.
Oh, ham!
Especially because, you know, every time you think about Krispy Kreme, there's a Krispy Kreme someplace that has donuts hot right now.
Yep.
It's like, you know, angels getting wings when you hear bell ring. Whenever you think of Krispy Kreme hot donuts, someplace has hot Krispy Kreme donuts.
Somewhere a kid is experiencing their first hot donut.
Yep.
That bastard. Give me that donut. I want it now.
But they both are doing stuff for the cinematics, the gameplay, combat stuff. So they're basically... What I'm saying is DMC is going to have a lot of wub wub.
Wub 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 wub.
So there's going to be...
Inside joke.
There's gonna be a lot. And what I think is really cool is that you can actually hear, like, a sample of some of the stuff that they've done. If you go to Noisia's Facebook page, you can actually go to the app that they have on their page and download a sample of some of the stuff that they've done, which I think is really cool. So it's another way to get some, you know, pre-DMC in your life before, you know, DMC becomes available. And I think that that's a cool thing. But ultimately, you know, when you look at the game landscape of what's coming over the next, really, quarter, it's ridiculous when you think about it, right? Because you had the Spider-Man game drop last week.
Right.
Which you could pick up right before the Amazing Spider-Man game, the Amazing Spider-Man movie launches. And the game is really spectacular. If you haven't checked it out, you should. I can't remember if the demo is available yet on your Xbox Lives and your PSNs for the Amazing Spider-Man. But if it is, I highly recommend that you check it out. I got to play a little bit of the game at E3. And it is really, like, everything that I've ever wanted out of a Spider-Man game. As far as, like, how Spider-Man should move throughout the city and what he should be able to do. It feels right.
Okay.
Especially if you know anything about the Spidey universe. It feels right. So I highly recommend checking that one out. But, you know, you've got Theater Rhythm dropping. You've got a brand spanking new, again, 3DS now with the XL, which, you know, is a perfect lineup when you look at some of the games that are coming. You know, Theater Rhythm is definitely going to benefit from a larger screen, but also the Super Mario Brothers game is going to benefit from the larger screen.
We're dropping gold on you bitches! Gold!
Get that money! But that's...
That money gets you in that game. It literally just falls around like Columbia
in Russia. Money follows you! But no, seriously, you know, that's going to benefit from the larger screen for sure. You know, everybody that's jumping into the Resident Evil collections...
Yep.
You know, definitely going to benefit there.
Possibly, yes. Yes.
Well, I mean, if you enjoy them.
Right. Well, you're already talking to the Resident RE person right here.
This is what I'm saying. So, you know, if it's your thing, you know, you're definitely going to enjoy them. And the new HD collection is going to make that even more fun, I'm gathering, for, you know, the Resident Evil types.
Yay, represent. Birthday.
Oh my god, I'm staying focused. I'm gonna get through all of this. You know, but then, you know, you also have coming right on the heels, I mean, some really fantastic games. Spec Ops came out and is just getting rave reviews. And I'm really glad to see so many people pick it up and give it a chance. Because, you know, the last outing, which was on the Dreamcast, wasn't really spectacular. And a lot of people forgot about the franchise. And it's really cool for me to see so many people not only give the franchise a shot, but actually as they get into it, really find, as far as they're concerned, the start of another franchise, even though it's just a continuation of an existing.
Right.
But it's really cool to see that. So, you know, I'm going to tell you guys again, if you haven't given Spec Ops the Line a shot, you really need to. It's not just another Call of Duty. It's not just another Modern Warfare. It really is.
And it's not for women.
Yes, it's not for women. It is challenging, though, which is really cool. But there is a lot of psychological pieces behind it. And I really give 2K a lot of credit because, you know, it had to take some convincing to say we're going to bring back and revitalize this franchise, which we've let really go for quite some time. But we're going to revitalize it.
We dated in middle school. I'm now out of grad school.
It had braces.
And now I saw her at the Jamba Juice. And I think
she's been working out a little bit.
So we're going to go on a date.
We're going to see what happens and if there's any chemistry.
Oh my god, that's exactly what just happened in terms of Spec Ops Line. That's what happened.
Yeah. And it turns out that there's chemistry there. And I'm really glad to see that because I really love the game. I think that the not only the cinematics that are in there, but the gameplay is fast, it's quick, it is challenging. You know, you really have to dial up the difficulty level for Call of Duty to be challenging.
Yep.
You know, there are things that are frustrating because you only have small windows to execute, but as far as really being challenging, you really have to up the difficulty to get to a challenge on the Call of Duty. And even a Modern Warfare. Because, you know, at their core, they're really just House of the Dead, but a little more organized, right? You know,
they're House of the Dead, minus the zombies, unless you're playing zombies.
Right.
And, yeah, it's really kind of watered down.
Yeah, I mean, you know what's going to happen. You're going to walk into an area, like, you know the
you're going to walk into an area, you're going to walk into an area. Watch your six, and then gunfire is going to happen, and advance until you've killed everyone in the area.
Until you've killed everybody in the area.
And then you advance.
And so it's, you know,
rinse and repeat.
It's House of the Dead, and that's not, you know, the case with Spec Ops, so... I and I'm not knocking either one because, as you well know, I fucking love me some Call of Duty.
Right.
Okay? I'm not the best person. Like, I am not the person that you want to put on point. Or be in charge of your headshots. Although I'm getting better with that shit.
I'm a bitch on a sniper. So,
you know,
will just develop your skill later.
I'm a late bloomer on that, but I feel like, you know, I have a bud now. And
it's a little
bloom.
Sprig.
It's a little sprig. And it's
got so much possibility.
There's nothing but possibility.
Get some Miracle-Gro on that shit.
I'm going to hit it with, you know, some Miracle-Gro.
Make sure that sun touches it and some photosynthesis happens.
I put it in
sunlight. Chloroform.
Seriously.
Chlorophyll.
It's you know, Rose in the Concrete Jungle is where I'm going with that. You know, but I really, I urge you guys, check out Spec Ops The Line. I was really impressed with it. I'm just about finished with my Ghost Recon outage, and so it's the next one on deck for me, frankly. There I go with my Peter Brady voice, but seriously, I'm really looking forward to running through this game, and I highly recommend it as well. And, you know, then you've got the stuff that's, like, you know, on the outskirts, right? We are on the heels of holiday. Okay, it is right around the corner, people. September is closer than you think.
Oh, well, yeah. Okay. A lot of games are coming out. I mean, I know I've already talked about Rhythm Heaven coming out this week, but later on this month...
Theater Rhythm?
Yeah. But we're also getting another Kingdom Hearts game for the 3DS. That's going to drop, I think, around the 29th, so that's later on in the month. And we're going to get the next installment of that. Then going into September, and, you know, the September, October, November, we're definitely going to get Borderlands 2.
Yep.
We're going to get...
Assassin's 3.
Yep.
Far Cry 3.
Like, they're all coming.
They're all right around the corner. You know, you're probably going to get Rock Band Blitz.
Yep.
Right there. You've got... isn't Dance Central 3 slated for holiday?
I think they're aiming for that.
Yeah, they're aiming for holiday. You know, so you got that right on the heels. You got the Zumba game. I mean,
Hitman Absolution.
You got Absolution that's around the corner.
Like,
I mean,
everything is priming to blast everyone with a million options.
You know, and so I kind of look at Summer's being, you know, and it's not like it doesn't have its ups and downs, because there's all kinds of stuff that's, you know, going to be sprinkling throughout.
I feel like games are now taking a hit for movies. So they want to give you your action-packed, big hit, like, popcorn games, essentially,
mm-hmm.
during the summer to get you piped up for when holiday for the really big AAA titles to be like,
to lead in
here
the holiday
I am.
And close out the fiscal year, absolutely.
And on that high note.
But what I'm saying is, this holiday, we've got a really strong holiday. Don't forget, you got BioShock Infinite looming out there.
Yep.
And while we didn't see anything at E3, because they were like, it's not where we want it to be, so we're not going to show you anything half-assed, it's coming. And I wouldn't put it past Valve to be like, yep, we fixed everything that we needed to, so happy October. Blam! And just surprise everybody going into holiday.
It's like a surprise date that you're happy it happened because you really had fun.
You know, so, I mean, you've got BioShock Infinite that's looming out there. So, I'm getting more and more excited. Like, the more that I think about what's coming on the horizon, I just keep going, wow, this is really going to be a fantastic, like, end of 2012.
And I mean, we already know some of the big things they're starting to really push and develop going into even the new year. Like, I mean, like, Tomb Raider and Last of Us. Like, I mean,
Tomb Raider, Last of Us,
Beyond Two Souls. Like, really, and they're leaving us so many breadcrumbs to enjoy all of it. And that's not even all of it. Are you done, though? Because I don't want to
jump in.
On.
No, what do you got?
Hit it. So, something else on the Square Enix front that apparently they were showing behind closed doors, so I wish I'd had the opportunity to watch this. They were showing a live tech demo of a concept. Mm-hmm. So, it's not locked in as anything yet, but it's got high potential, obviously. And, I was watching some threads, and I got to see that live tech demo that they were doing behind there. And I feel, because it's being codenamed or addressed as Agni's Philosophy right now,
mm-hmm.
I feel like it's going to be the next big, important Final Fantasy game. So outside of the 13s and outside of the onlines,
mm-hmm.
like, I think this is going to be the title, if that's where they're going with it. And I mean, and it's all in real time, so all those beautiful FMVs that we're used to seeing during
mm-hmm.
load screens and all that stuff, like, from the tech demo, that's what you're getting all the time, and it's all in real time.
That would be impressive.
It was super impressive. I mean, they only got to see, like, 10 minutes, but in the opening cinematic of it, or what you thought was a cinematic, is you see this, like, truck come through the shot. And you actually see them go, you think this is the cutscene, and you can't do anything, and then they pan the camera around the truck. So it's all in real time. Everything is, the atmosphere is that interactive that
mm-hmm.
you're really not just one shot, and so it was beautiful. It was absolutely breathtaking. Crystal Dynamics seems to have some involvement in that, so think what we are seeing from Tomb Raider,
mm-hmm.
and put, like, a Final Fantasy vibe in terms of style and clothes and attitude
mm-hmm.
on that, and that's kind of the feel I was getting from that. And there were a lot of really big hints in the tech demo that would lead someone to believe that this could possibly be a tie-in to the Final Fantasy games. Primarily, from what I saw, I feel like they are going back to Final Fantasy XII, which I felt was actually probably the last really good Final Fantasy game before the 13 debacle. You know, and now that makes sense, because 13 is an unlucky number, so I don't know why Final Fantasy even did a series with 13 in it, because it's a very bad omen number,
which they typically don't do.
No, a lot of people skip over 13 because
mm-hmm.
it's seen as such a Negative Omen, and I mean, they've had so many, you know, bunks with 13, which is why 13 Versus is now being renamed 14. Like, they're not even grouping it in what they were initially going to do. But getting back to codename Agni's Philosophy, they were showing this scene with summoners in it, you know, hooded cloaks and chanting and everything. You think, oh, they're just going to summon something, and they were summoning this beast, and there are these four in red cloaks and this one older one in like a darker blacky red, you know, like the leader of these summoners, and they were showing that they were summoning these bugs, and they were starting to group and form, and they stop in the middle of that and they zoom in and they like summon like so many bugs, and when you zoom in up close, they're all super detailed, they're all doing their own thing, like it is far more detailed than even someone watching would know.
Okay.
Unless they show, like...
And so, on a flip to that, let me ask you, does that add anything to the value
it,
of the
it
game
does
for
to,
you?
To me. For me. I mean, I am not a artist. I struggle very hard to look at, you know, to create something that looks remotely like an anime character. Sometimes I'm on and sometimes I'm not. I can't draw with a tablet to save my life, so I pray to God that no one ever puts a gun to my head and is like, use this tablet, because I'd be like, shoot me now. That'd be the end of that. But the fact that, you know, something that looks like it's just a monotonous gelatin mush up close is actually like this infinite network of detail and structure and behavior. Like, each of these bugs actually had its own behavior, so it wasn't like they were all on loop to swirl over each other. They all did different things. They all weren't just doing the same cinematic in this area to make this summon, air quote. But they were doing that to make up summons, which is a big thing in Final Fantasy games. The main summoner guy, old man, who I'm gonna call him Old Man Sam, was holding this crystal, which we know Final Fantasy has a big thing about crystals and, you know, gathering those materials to do summons or to make crafts and items and stuff like that. And I was like, oh, that's another thing. But while they're doing the summoning, it's weird because, like, these weird bandits, like, Middle Eastern, like, gun-toting bandits or mercenaries infiltrate these summoners and start shooting the place up. You know, so, of course, some of them scatter. The old dude totally gets, like, you know, shot four times and is, like, dying. And one of the summoners rips off, you know, the hood, and you see this girl, and she's being codenamed Agni, and I think they're gonna hold on to the name. And you see her hold this old guy, and he hands her this crystal, and you don't hear what they're saying. It's all, you know, silent, so it's all in terms of interpretation. But, you know, he, you know, shaking hand, hands her the crystal. She doesn't want to leave him there, but she knows she has to. And she manages with the crystal to finish the summon, and she summons this giant dragon peacocky bird thing. And for me, and I'm sure if anyone else watches this, they might agree with me, this summon looked a lot like Balfour from Final Fantasy X, which is the first summon that Yuna gets in the game. Like, how she does the ritual of summoning when she gets that Aeon. So I'm like, oh my gosh. I'm like, I loved it. Like, and you see her, you know, fly off into the sunset, and you see this beautiful pan of, you know, this rundown city and this big metropolis, because we all know that Final Fantasy loves to have an area where it's this massive, you know, city. Like,
city of the future.
Like, Academia in Final Fantasy 13 and Bevel from, like, these overly massive, elaborate cities, metropolises.
Right, to juxtapose against the rural country.
The degradation of the rest of mankind.
Where typically your protagonist comes from.
From, yes. And it was funny because the structure in the background that you see her flying towards looks a lot like the big main city that you see in 12. So I feel like if this is where this is going, and I don't know what number Final Fantasy this is going to be, and this is all a tech demo, so it's not even locked in and even in real development outside of tech demos to see what they can do. But if this goes anywhere, it might actually tie in to 12, which I actually think, I'm surprised this wasn't the direction that they went in when they did 12, because I liked 12.
Yeah, but, you know, that's one of the things that Square Enix has done for a long time, and they continue to do, is that they don't do linear. Like, show me.
They didn't
show me a segment.
They didn't do linear until 10, and then they did 10-2, which was utter crap on a stick on a hot summer day, like hot pipe and shit for your mouth.
Yep.
Here you go. Hope you like it.
Yeah, nobody did.
But they've never done that.
And they don't do linear. You know, they'll do a game, then they'll do another game, then they'll hop back. And be like, this
but they'll
is now
somehow
time
leave some type of tie thread between when it's not exactly related, but they'll leave that red line of fate.
But for a lot of their titles, it's very thin. Or at sometimes it's almost, you know, in the player. Excuse me, unless they're really into the universe, it's, you know, imperceptible to the player.
To the untrained Square Enix eye.
To the non-fanboy. Okay, so, for instance, for me...
I wouldn't see it, but I would.
I don't see the line between 9 and 10. The line of fate.
Right.
Other than the universal, you know, tenets of Final Fantasy, which are anything... I don't see the line of fate between 9 and 10.
Right.
Obviously, 10-2 doesn't count, because, it sucked, but it was just play Dress Me Up with Yuna.
Not just Yuna. It gave you Yuna, whore Riku with her thong hanging out with her dreads and shit, and then Pain, who I swear, even though she wasn't related to Lulu, you know, the black mage from 10, who everyone really liked, and obviously if you look at her, you can definitely see why people really liked Lulu. But Pain was like the Lulu subtype, you know, ashy, pale, brooding.
Yep, same color scheme.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
And I'm like, you're totally related to Lulu, even though they will not confirm that. In my mind, you were like her, like, sister.
Yeah, really.
You're her sister.
Yeah. You know, so, I mean, and then you had 11, which I don't see the line of fate between 10 and 11.
Well, 11 is an online. So, but yes.
Okay, and then... 11 into 12.
There was no assimilation between 11.
And 12 into 13.
I don't know why they dropped 12, because 12 was so strong. And they did so many new things in 12 that people were like,
This is what I'm saying.
But I mean, they established such a great world in 12, so I mean, if Agni's philosophy ends up turning into, you know, the next story in that archetype of 12, I would be more...
And I feel like there would be a lot of people who would be the same. I think that one of the things that Square learned with 13 was they went down the wrong path.
Yep.
Because the people who were diehards for the franchise didn't like where it went.
Because we've
had this conversation.
You gotta give Square Enix fans three simple things. You gotta give them the conflict between magic and reality.
You gotta give
magic
Final
and machines.
Fantasy if you're Square.
Yeah.
You gotta give Final Fantasy fans.
Yep. That dichotomy of always magic versus science. You gotta give us that. You gotta give us a love interest. You have to. You gotta give us a love story in there. Because if it's just, oh, magic is better than machines, well, that's great. But you gotta tie me in. Why do I need to care about that?
Mm-hmm.
You gotta give us that. And also you gotta give us great music and visuals. I mean, we're really not that hard. And when you stray from that well-established formula, you get 13. And 13-2.
Alright, so and speaking about creating, you know, great visuals and graphics and stories, I think that segues very well into your next piece.
Yes. Oh god, that's right.
Huh? You like that? You like how I set you up there?
Yes.
See? I put it on the team.
I don't know how music really plays into that. But completion and visuals and giving people a certain
great story that they expect.
Yes. So last week BioWare finally released the first free piece of downloadable content for Mass Effect 3, which was a hefty 1.85 GB download.
Ooh, I better get on that.
It's a biggin. And it was taking a lot of people, especially on first day of release, to get that done in a decent amount of time.
I better jump on that before people get on the vacation time.
I would if I were you.
Yep.
And I mean, I touched about this briefly on my Frickin' Fridays for Pandalicious, but there's really not too much I can really explain in 5 minutes, obviously. So get to the splaining! Yeah.
Woman!
So this was the downloadable content that made the new... I don't want to say enhanced, but more detailed endings available. Like, the re-endings have now been, you know, given to us. And everyone seems to be...
So you're saying I gotta go put Mass Effect back in my Xbox?
You're probably going to.
Because I've gotten all three endings.
Right. I know, which I talked about in my video, but getting back to right now...
Synergist is my favorite. Before new stuff, so now I had to see new stuff.
Okay. All right. And I'm glad for you. I know that I had every intention...
It's all about, you know, robots and humans getting it on.
You...
Okay. I want Joker to get him some.
I want to see Joker get some.
All right? Poor Joker.
Because it's not porn, because she's a robot.
Because poor Joker has been flying the ever-loving hell out of the Normandy forever and a day. Normandy 1 and Normandy 2.
Cerberus Edition.
Cerberus Edition. Okay? He's been flying, saving people's asses all up
yeah,
and down
the
universe.
Yeah, but then in 3, he was all up in the club.
Okay? Well, he wasn't all up in the club. He just happened to go to the club.
Ever shortly, he was up in the club.
Well, no.
He went shopping that one time.
And he
time.
Went shopping.
He went shopping.
That
but then
time.
He was with Edie in the club.
Yeah, well, you gotta take your lady friend to the club. You can't always take her shopping.
Yeah, I know. Because
he's a serviceman. He don't make that kind of money.
I don't get that kind of credit distribution.
You know what I'm saying? His credit ain't all that.
Anyway.
So I'm all about Joker. Exactly. But he needs to get him some. So I was all about Synergist. When he pops out with his green eyes, I was like, yeah, get you some. She got a green visor, dog.
Yep. You don't have to worry about your hip now.
You don't got
to
worry about your hip now, son.
Get some WD-40. Anyway, getting back to the point.
Yeah, I went on a tangent and what?
Yeah.
Birthday.
Birthday. In my research, a lot of people...
Wait, you did research?
Yes, because sometimes I actually...
What?
I know.
Blasphemous.
Bitch, say what?
Researchers say, huh?
Yeah, exactly. But no, because I didn't rush. Like, the day that everyone's like, oh my god, it came out, I'm like, okay. You know, and a lot of people were like, why aren't you, like, jumping up in panda joy over this? And I'm like, I'm happy, obviously. But at the same time, I sat in that wheelhouse that I was happy where my story ended. So, like, I wasn't ferociously grabbing for stuff that I felt if I was...
Right, I mean, we had the conversation that we didn't feel like anything was missing.
Missing.
For being the fans of the franchise that we both are... I don't think either one of us, like, walked out of our first playthrough, first ending.
Like, oh, I'm so mad. Like, anger did not come into play.
No, I felt like...
I cried my first playthrough.
I
cried
well,
like a bitch.
You were there.
David!
Dude, you were there when I finished.
Yep, I was like, I'm not leaving until this one scene, and then after that, it's all you, bro.
Yep. And then it happened, and I was like, what?
No! Yeah, exactly. And that was
Kong!
You know,
and I had that moment. But neither one of us were disappointed.
No.
And frankly, I wasn't disappointed in any of the endings that I got. As far as, you know, I always felt like Mass Effect 3 had to end with some questions. Like, it couldn't all be
tied up in pretty bows.
No.
And make complete sense.
Well, because then it wouldn't have felt like a Mass
Effect
game.
For one, it wouldn't be a legend. Especially because they were talking about the legend of, you know, Shepard.
Yeah.
And not all legends are ever fully explained, and that's why they're legends.
Correct.
Because
that's why they carry
on. Holes, and it's left
that
to interpretation.
That you fill with your own methodology.
Exactly.
And if everything has an answer, then there's no faith-inspiring thing.
Exactly.
You know?
Because then you know exactly how it got there.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, I didn't rush to it, and I still, right now, currently don't have it downloaded. And a lot of people ask me, well, why? And like I said...
Right,
because
it's not like you've fallen out of love with the franchise.
Absolutely not. Like, I won't. Mass Effect will always resonate in me if they come out with more games. Because I know it's the end of Shepard's story, but there are so many more stories that can totally happen now in the universe.
Yeah, like Edie and Joker's children.
Yeah. And... But I'm just saying. So they could, and they could do that, and I would sign up. Right, I'd be right on board as long as Seth Green and the chick from Battlestar Galactica
mm-hmm.
were playing those. I'd be on board.
Mm-hmm.
Done.
Yep.
But I don't feel a need to rush because, for one, we're going to get a lot more downloadable content.
Right.
To keep further advancing, you know, the details of the story to make, you know, the angry fanboys happy or complacent, at least. And I'm in the wheelhouse, or I'm in the thought process of waiting for more of that to become available, because every time they drop one, that means that's another several hours of re-gameplay that has to go into it. And I'm not saying that I don't want to replay the game, but I'm not hurting for it. I'm not yearning for that explanation.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's not like gnawing at me like, I need to know how the mass relays didn't destroy a whole universe and create black holes, and I don't want to, you know, I don't need it. I'm not hungry for it. So I'm
right this minute.
Yeah, so I'm going to wait on that. And it seems like a lot of people, in terms of reception and playthrough and what they thought of what BioWare has given, you know, in response to all the haterade that was being thrown and put in their brownies and shit, that BioWare is now back on track. Like, they feel like they're coming back now, but it's not like a knock right out of the park. Yep, you gave me everything that I want and I'm happy now. You don't have to give me more. Like, nope, you explained some things, but it's not everything. So get back to it, BioWare. Thanks for that first installment. Fuck you. Fuck you, hating gamers. Fuck you. Leave that shit alone. It was fine the way that it was. And if you're that mad, read the GD books.
Yeah, seriously. I mean, that ultimately, that's where you go for all the details
of
the backstory.
Granted,
if you're that into it.
I know that the next few packs are actually going to be stuff that aren't even really going to pander to the way our play styles, because a lot of that other stuff that they're going to start releasing is going to be multiplayer related, and both of us have never had really great
experiences
in Mass Effect.
Yep.
So it's really not ringing a bell for me.
Yeah.
But am I glad that, you know, people who did play this were really happy with, you know, finally getting that explanation that has made their anger flame bellies calm down. I'm very happy for them. But I'm not going to rush out to get this done, because this is just one another way to perpetuate multiple gameplay while other really great titles are waiting to be touched. Mass Effect is a great series. It gets its...
You're not ready to do another full playthrough.
No. And
because that is a requirement.
Yeah.
Because you can't pick up, you know, on the replay of the Tell Me a Story About the Shepherd.
You have to go through the whole story again.
Yeah.
To that one point. You can't just load up your save from that decision and have that apply. It doesn't work that way, bitches. So I hope you weren't thinking that, because you're going to be sitting for another 25 to 30 hours.
Yeah.
You know, unless you're a pro.
You can cut that down. Like, I cut my final gameplay through down to about 15 hours.
Well, that's good for you.
Because basically what I did was I found a resource online that had photos of where all of the space artifacts were. And so I was able to go through and just do all of those planets, like, the moment they became available, to literally jump right in
and go exactly where they were.
Scan once,
grab it, and not get caught by the
Exactly.
Reapers.
So you could, like, position yourself and go, okay, if I scan right here, I should ping both objects one time, so I should be able to get them both before the Reapers come. And if they don't, I've got this one little side mission I can do that I can then come back, because it's already pinged. And once you ping it, it sits there and takes
ready to go. Because you already discovered
it.
It doesn't become undiscovered just because you left it.
Exactly. So then I could just run back in and get it and deliver it who I needed to be. So on my third
game plu.
Yeah, that's what happens. Game playthrough becomes a game plu.
Game plu.
Yeah, that's
new word.
That's the evolution.
That's going in the image.
That's how
it digivolves.
Game playthrough. Digivolves into Game Plu.
Game Plu!
Game Plu! But
I got a new Pokemon in Pokemon Black and White too.
But yeah, I got my third one where I had like over 5,000.
Over 5,000?
It was over 5,000 readiness points, because I had
pretty much
gotten every single artifact except one, because I didn't get back to where I needed to deliver.
Yeah. Oh, I hated that shit too.
So I did one mission too many, and so the guy was gone.
That's a sad trait in BioWare games. You'll
and I didn't
that
know
lot.
That. And so
it happened to me.
I had
a lot in Skyrim.
I basically had like 90% of all the
except that
time.
One that you had, but you couldn't turn it in.
Exactly. So I still had it, but I couldn't turn it in.
BioWare
so I had, like,
should fix that.
90% of the war assets, and I still made the same decisions that I did before, so I was like, fuck the Quarians, I'm running with the Geth, and, you know, I didn't let Caden join my crew.
Because he becomes an asset, so you really want him out there.
I still picked Daris.
Did you get Ellers?
No, I didn't bang her.
No, I'm just saying, did you...
Yeah, I got her.
Because she's a war asset.
I got her, and I fed her all the stories that she needed to get, and I did not bang anyone except Garrus, even though that...
Well, because you can't. If you fuck Ellers or Trainer while romancing somebody else, that other romance tree becomes unavailable.
Yeah.
And don't be fucking with bitches.
Mm-mm.
Don't fuck the bitches.
No.
Because they'll ruin your love life.
So I
passed.
Yep, so I passed on both of them. I still went with Garrus because, frankly, Garrus is an adorable boyfriend, and
he's so loving and doting, and
he is
so contained in his admiration and affections for you. Like,
you know,
he's like, I want to be like, oh, I love you, but he's like, nope, I'm a respectable Taurian.
Yes,
but
I'm telling you. I know, until the end, where he's like, you know, don't forget, you got a boyfriend waiting. You're like, oh my god, Garrus, you're so cute.
I want to have a Hurrian baby right now.
I want to have a Hurrian baby right now. Right now. I like Hurrian.
I like it better than...
And Tumen, if it's a boy.
Ooh.
Yeah. A Tumen baby, if it's a
like
boy.
It's like the whole tiger-lion
exactly.
thing. Like, if it's a lioness and a male tiger, it's like a Tyron or like a...
Yeah.
Super cool.
Yeah. So,
they're
you know,
extinct.
Seriously,
so
a Hurrian baby would be, like, adorable.
You should have Hurrian babies right now.
So...
Tyrion should exist in the universe.
Ultimately, here's where I land with everything. I will play it through again. I've got one more.
I'm glad that you got one more.
I've got one more full Mass Effect game play in me. And the reason that I say that is because I've got August to deal with. Okay? I'm going to get through Spec Ops. I'm finishing up Ghost Recon. Okay? I've got to have something to do between September... and, you know, the end of summer. So I've got one more, because multiplayer's not going to happen for me, because
no.
I get booted out of every multiplayer that I tried to do, because I didn't do multiplayer from the jump. And so my skill level is really low, and I get booted out of every frickin' multiplayer trial that I do. So until they fix the tree where if you jump in, you jump in with only like-leveled people, unless you choose to do a custom one, till they do matchmaking.
Yeah.
I'm not touching it.
Me neither.
Because I get tired of getting booted out and not being able to do it, and that it actually affects my gameplay. So, you know, I did the data pad thing to try and get some more of the war asset stuff, which helped. But ultimately, I have one more full Mass Effect playthrough in me with my FemShep. And then I'm pretty much good until they come out with a new Mass Effect game. Which, there's no way it's not going to happen. The franchise is way too successful.
Exactly.
And so, you know, I don't know if, you know, depending upon which ending things happen, if you deal with the spawn of Shepard, I'll say it that way, because depending upon what ending you get, there's a hint of possibility.
Yes, in one of the new endings, there's a...
Yep.
There's a lead that potentially... mentions that Shepard could be alive.
Mm-hmm.
Through all that mess.
Mm-hmm.
But all the other ones besides that one,
mm-hmm.
Shepard will. So I'm not spoiling anything because they've already come out and said it.
Yep.
That all the other endings,
and the way it's supposed to be
is
with
yep,
Shepard,
that Shepard will die a hero's death.
Exactly.
How
he becomes a legend. Yep.
Have we not seen Will Smith's I Am Legend?
I mean, that's how it works.
And granted, you know, I Am Legend was not even a new concept because it was actually a book.
Yes. sometimes people forget that.
Some people forget that they're, you know, we're not making fire here.
Mm-hmm.
We're not reinventing the wheel. Like,
mm-mm.
We're not. It's
mm-mm.
nothing new.
Mm-mm.
But, yeah, so if you are really into, you know, Mass Effect and you're one of those bitchers and complainers, well, here's your first bit of... what you feel you are entitled to. So jump there, play it. Let me know if it's something that I really should spend a good chunk of time downloading that 1.85 GB download.
That GD 1.5 GB.
GB, GD, GB. Mega gigabytes, son.
Mega gigabytes!
And I will... And try to convince me. Please try to convince me, because I'd love to see someone's argument for that.
Look, I'm telling you right now. You got 2 weeks of holidays.
So?
That you ain't got shit all to do.
Except live and dance.
Like there's no tomorrow?
No, just dance.
Okay. Did you mention that I like to dance?
Yes, you did mention that.
Okay, I just wanted to.
I like to smash it.
Smash it and bang it?
Yeah. Oh. And I come across town to hear that ooh ah sound.
Ooh, really?
Yep.
Wow. Alright, cool.
Baby. birthday.
Lit Flossy. So I'm pretty sure that's really where we've netted out. We're excited about stuff coming up, obviously.
Birthday. You know,
Pandalicious has some things that she's looking forward to.
Birthday.
This particular week.
Day of birth anniversary. It's the anniversary of my survival for the last friend years.
Yeah. So there's that. And, frankly, guys, it's going to be a fantastic summer if you're a nerd of any kind. We want to know what you think about this kind of stuff, so make sure that you're checking up on all the different things that we write about, think about, put our little perspective on over at EGM
our
Now.
Our perspective.
Sure, what she said. Over at egmnow.com/electricsisterhood or on our website, electricsisterhood.com. You can also be checking out what we're doing with our podcast thoughts every week by tuning in. And, well, where can you get that wonderful podcast?
Well, you can still get it at iTunes, but now through an app.
That's right. Just in case you missed our post about it earlier in the week and the stuff that we said about it on Twitter, if you're not aware, iTunes has now split off the podcast directory into its own store.
Because there are just so many podcasts.
There's mega podcasts, yo.
Mega gigabytes of podcasts.
And it's got its own app, the podcast store.
Put it on your iPhone. Put it on your Android.
Put it on your thingy.
Yeah.
They have tablets. You can put it on the tablet.
Put it on your tablet. Tablet in the trees.
Okay. You just need to take a little moment. You're at it here. You need to come down right about here.
I can't. I'm getting really excited.
Okay. But you can check us out in the podcast store now from the fine folks over at iTunes. And again, search us out, Electric Sisterhood, and hit that beautiful subscribe button to ensure that you get our podcast the moment that we put it out on the web.
Rate us!
But if you don't want to do that...
5 stars.
Dude, come on now.
Sorry.
You can get us in the Microsoft Marketplace, again, by searching out Electric Sisterhood and hitting the subscribe button.
Or you can plug us into any RSS reader or any podcast search engine. But if you're looking for us, you should look for the other shows that we hang out with sometimes, all the time.
That's right, because our network is not just us, because a network of one is not a network.
There is no I in team unless you draw the A weird and highlight the space between the A.
If you draw it as block letter, there is an I in team.
Yeah, in between.
In the A.
But, you know, that's just hipster talk.
That's just, you know, font preference. I mean, you can get into typography if you want to, but that's not this podcast.
Typography, bitch!
That's another episode.
I like my A's with curves. Curvy A's.
You like serif A's.
Serif A's.
But if you're listening to us, like she said, with our brand new podcast episodes that go out on Mondays, then you should follow that up with a brand new episode of the Boston Bash Brigade podcast, which is hosted by our homeboy, King Baby Duck, and his bunch of bastards.
Lovable bastards all.
They are. And they're basically the testosterone to our estrogen.
Preposterone.
So, I can't even keep up with you anymore. So, they talk about sports and movies and indie music, as well as the video games and anime stuff too. So definitely check them out. Then follow that up with a brand new episode of the Geek Aggro podcast, and check out what's going on at geekaggro.com on Wednesdays.
GA
held down by our homeboy Deuces Wild. And for the rest of the week, with all your nerd needs, getting them fed, satiated, and all that good stuff.
Satiated.
There's all the stuff that we write again, egmnow.com/electricsisterhood, or
subscribe to our page over there.
We do want the subscriptions. If you like what, you know, we talk about and read, definitely subscribe to the page so you get alerts as soon as we put out new stuff.
Hey, new content! I'm so glad I subscribed.
Comment on that stuff.
Hey, I like this. You suck.
Share it on your socials.
Hey, guys, look at this thing I just read.
Everything that she's saying right now, we want you to do over at
do that in actuality, but not to yourself, but to your friends.
I don't follow that stream of logic, but we're going to run with it.
I'm tired.
Then there's all the stuff that we have on our respective network pages, if you want to go directly to the source, as well as our Facebook page where you can ask us questions, suggest stuff for us to check into, or just let us know what you'd like to know how we feel about things that are going on, and we'll either answer those
questions. Show me a video and ask me how I feel about it.
Sure, that.
Share
can I
stuff.
Get to the rest of the bump?
Sorry.
Thanks. On our Facebook page, which you can find at facebook.com/landofesh. Make sure that you come through and you like the page. We've got a giveaway that's about to go live here pretty soon. Yay, as we get closer and closer to episode 300 of our podcast. So make sure that you're a fan of the page, because only fans can win, and it's going to be kind of cool. So make sure you do that. And then there's
an awesome prize.
There's the stuff that we put out upon the Twitters, which you can find at
Esh News.
ESH News on the Twitters. If you want to follow the entire team that makes up the Land of Esh, then visit my page, twitter.com/ninjasister, and check out the Land of Esh list. Follow all those dudes and dudettes, because they're good peeps. And I believe that that comes to the end of the promo segment of our promo segment, which means it's time to say, Pandalicious, what shit you digging this week?
I am digging...
Oh, here we go.
Actually, I'm digging today, Monday, because later on today, me and KBD are seeing Tenacious D at the Pavilion in Beantown.
Well, happy motherfucking birthday to you!
Happy birthday. And also, my birthday.
Birthday.
What are you digging this week?
I'm actually gonna go with...
My birthday? That's something to totally dig. You should all dig it.
No, I wasn't going to say that.
I know that you do dig it. You just don't want to share with everybody. I know. It's okay. You don't have to. It's fine.
Are you good?
Yeah.
Okay. Can I say what I dig now?
Yep.
Yeah. I'm actually digging the movie Ted. I haven't seen it yet, but I'm a huge Seth MacFarlane fan. I love his humor. I liked American Dad back in the first run where, like, nobody in the world liked it. I enjoyed it back then, so I'm really looking forward to the movie. I think that it's going to be really fun, so I'm digging that and checking it out. And then, as always, like, my ever-loving perpetual, like, shit that I dig, Astro Gaming and their headsets and pretty much all their gear.
A50s, I want you.
I want you in my life.
Do-do-do-do-do-do-do. Do-do-do-do-do.
Okay, and with that, I'm Ninja Sista.
And I'm Pandalicious.
And we're out of here for this week.
Second inside joke.